Welcome back to the Spirit According to the Word. Last week, we took a look at a few examples of the Holy Spirit working directly in the New Testament. And this week, we're going to study kind of an interesting topic, one that has a lot of confusion, a lot of differing ideas, and that is what the Holy Spirit says about himself, particularly about the seal of the Spirit and the earnest of the Spirit. And there's a lot that's said about those two things, and it's interesting, when you look at them, they appear only in four different contexts, four different passages. And so we're going to look at all of those passages and see what the Spirit says, and then try to draw some conclusions from that. And this is all within two books. The first is 2 Corinthians. And so let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, and we'll pick up in verse 19. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, starting in verse 19. And as you're turning there, I want to consider the idea from verse 1 that this book is written by Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother. So this is Paul and Timothy writing unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia. So this is Paul and Timothy writing to the Christians at Corinth and Achaia. And as you track through this book, it's important to pay attention to who's speaking and who's being spoken to and who's being spoken about. In particular, in these passages, pay attention to the personal pronouns. And, you know, you look at like verse 7, Paul says, our hope of you is steadfast. Well, the our, that's Paul and Timothy, the you, that's you Christians at Corinth. And, you know, verse 11, y'all also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. Again, the y'all that's helping us in prayer is the Christians at Corinth. The us, that's Paul and Timothy. Verse 13, for we write none other things unto you than what y'all read or acknowledged, and I trust y'all shall acknowledge even to the end. Again, the we and the I, that's Paul and Timothy. We're only writing to you Christians at Corinth what we already wrote. And so, verse 18, he says, but as God is true, our word toward you was not yea and nay. Again, this us, that's our Paul and Timothy. Our word was not conflicting. Our word toward you Christians at Corinth. Verse 19, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who is preached among you by us. Who's the you? That's the Christians at Corinth. Who's the us? He says, even by me and Silvanus and Timothy was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. So the word was preached by Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy to you Christians at Corinth. Verse 20, for all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Now, verse 21, he which establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us is God, who has also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Okay, well, who's the us and the we in this passage? It's still Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, isn't it? So, here Paul says that we, Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, have been anointed by God, verse 21. Verse 22, we have been sealed, and we have been given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. You've got an anointing, and a seal, and an earnest given to the apostles, to Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy. And so he says, verse 23, moreover, I call God for a record upon my soul that to spare you, I came not as yet unto Corinth, not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy for by faith ye stand. Now, so there's a lot that's going on here in this context between Paul and the church at Corinth. And, of course, these two epistles were written back-to-back in rapid fire and is dealing with a lot of problems and a lot of issues. But Paul points out that we, that is Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, have been anointed and sealed by the Spirit and received the earnest of the Spirit. Now, we're not told here what that is. Now, let's keep going in the book, chapter...
Just a quick translation issue. The New King James Version does not use the word earnest. It just simply says in verse 22, who also has sealed us and given us the Holy Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. So there is a translation difference in verse 22.
That is interesting. Yeah, so I mean, that's a pretty significant translation difference. There's some interpretation.
It makes you wonder what the translators, what their reasoning was for doing that.
Yeah, and so just kind of comparing this verse. So you have all the way from, you know, the King James, the American Standard, who sealed us and gave us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Then you have the New King James and some others. Again, the English Standard, who has put his seal on us and given us his Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. And so looking at the Textus Receptus here, which also has stamped or sealed us and given the arabone, and that's that word for earnest. Or a pledge of purchase money. The earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. And so what's interesting here is that the earnest of the Spirit, this is all in the genitive case. So this is the earnest which belongs to the Spirit. And looking at the Westcott Hort text, it reads the same way. So both of our main Greek manuscripts have this in the genitive case here. And so the American Standard and the King James Version really just did a word-for-word translation, and they did not interpret anything or change the order of the words at all.
So perhaps this is one occasion to disagree with the translators on the New King James Version or like translation.
It is, and that is a rare beast. Usually when the King James and New King James differ, the New King James is more accurate and closer to the text. But here it's the King James that's closer to the text. The New King James deviates quite a bit and gives some interpretation. And that's where you get a lot of confusion because... the New King James there, capitalized Spirit and gives us the idea that the Spirit is in our hearts and the Spirit is the guarantee, the earnest, right?
Well, if that was the case, then why would we ever fall short?
Well, hold on. Let's
let that one alone for now.
Yeah, let's let that one alone for now. But this translation issue is significant. But so, again, noticing the us and the y'all, the us that have been sealed and given the earnest of the Spirit, the us who have been anointed is Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy. And he does not apply that to the Christians at Corinth, only to himself. So if we're going to apply that to the Christians at Corinth, much less all Christians of all time, we've got to find that somewhere else.
Right, right. Now, yeah, the word us there is really the key in that verse.
Yeah, and so moving forward, the next context that you see this come up is in chapter 5. And again, as you walk through, chapter 5 is really not that far removed from chapter 1. It's one page turn. And so you keep going. At the end of chapter 4, again, Paul is saying, for which cause we faint not. And again, verse 15, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace through the thanksgiving of many might redound to the glory of God. So again, there's still this we and you. For which cause we faint not, but though our inward man perish, the outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. While we look at the things which are seen, but we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. I'll get this read right in a minute. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So we've still got the we and the y'all. So verse and the context of this here, Paul is talking about, you know, the fact that we're suffering, we're delivered unto death for Jesus' sake so that y'all can have life. We're putting our lives on the line, literally, and we're suffering to bring y'all the gospel, and that's okay. Because even if we die, we're going somewhere else. And so this is the we here. So you drop down into chapter 5, verse 4. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up in life. Now he that has wrought us for the self-save thing is God, who also has given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord.
And here's another example where the New King James translators completely left out the earnest.
What's the New King James say there?
Verse 5, now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee.
Mm.
So it just leaves earnest out.
Yeah, and so guarantee is their translation of the word earnest, but they're rearranging things, if you will. So rather than the earnest, which belongs to the Holy Spirit, they're saying that the Spirit is the earnest or the guarantee, right?
It appears so.
Yeah, and so the English Standard Translation does the same thing there, incidentally. And again, going to the Greek, to the Textus Receptus, it's the same, which has given to us the airbone of the Spirit. It's the exact same phrasing as you see in chapter 1. And the Westcott Hort is the same. So again, both of those Greek texts, this is the earnest, which belongs to the Holy Spirit, which is given to us. Now, we're still not told what this is, but that it was given to us. And so the us here is still Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy. Now, there are some principles in this chapter that can be applied to all Christians of all time. You know, this idea that whatever we suffer in this life won't be worthy to be compared to the glories hereafter, because we should be looking at things that are eternal, not things that are temporary. And as long as we're in this physical body, we're absent from the Lord, and it would be better to be with the Lord than to be in this body. But it's not that we all want to die, but we all want to go home. And while those things are true, we have to be careful not to take everything that's said in this passage and apply it to every Christian of all time if the meaning of it doesn't allow that. And so here's an instance where there are some principles for all Christians of all time, but the question, what about this earnest of the Spirit, does this apply to all Christians of all time? Now, what's interesting, verse 5, he says, he that hath wrought us for this self-same thing. The English Standard says, he who has prepared us for this very thing is God. What does the New King James say there? Is that the same thing?
Let's see. Beginning of verse 5, right?
Yes, sir.
Now he who has prepared us for this very thing.
Okay, so God is the one who has prepared us for this thing. Well, prepared who for what? Well, prepared Paul and the other apostles for the suffering that they're enduring for the gospel. Here you have God who has created and worked with them and made them for that purpose. And he has also given them this earnest or guarantee of the Spirit, whatever that is. And so, here again, this is not necessarily all Christians of all time in verse 5. These are those who are prepared for that purpose of carrying the gospel and suffering for that. Now, let's keep trudging forward and go to the book of Ephesians, where we find the other two contexts that this is mentioned. And then we'll start trying to draw some conclusions. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 12. Now, I understand we're jumping into the middle of a sentence, and that sentence really begins at the beginning of verse 3, because Paul.
He wrote sentences in paragraphs.
Yeah. You know, and so here again, paying attention to who's speaking and who's being spoken to. Verse 1, Paul is writing to the saints which are at Ephesus. And so we've got a we and a you there. So this we would be all of us, and then this you would be specifically Christians at Ephesus. So if you could go ahead and read there, I'm really curious how the New King James reads here, verses 12, 13, and 14.
Okay. That we, who first trusted in Christ, should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory.
All right. So here again, verses 13 and 14. So notice the New King James says, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the earnest of our inheritance. So here, by the way, there's a linking of the seal and the earnest. And so those are the same. The seal is the earnest. The earnest is the seal, if you will. Right? Is that fair? I mean, we've seen these linked in all of these contexts here. Now, what's interesting is the way that that was translated there, and the King James in verse 13 reads very similarly. It says, in whom also y'all trusted after that y'all heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that y'all believed, y'all were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So it says, y'all were sealed with the Spirit of promise. Now, here's where that gets kind of interesting. That is the dative case of the word Spirit. So it says, after y'all believed, and that after y'all believed is going to be significant here. We'll talk about that in a minute. After y'all believed, y'all were sealed, dative case, Spirit of the promise, the Spirit of the promise, the Holy Spirit of the promise. And so that dative case could be translated as with or by. Now, if you translate that as by, then you have, in whom after that y'all believed, y'all were sealed by that Holy Spirit of promise. And verse 14, the translation gets a little bit different. So the New King James, also the English Standard, say, who is the guarantee of our inheritance, carrying the idea that the Spirit is the seal. The Spirit is the guarantee. However, the Greek is very specific here. It says, which is the guarantee? And, of course, that word could be translated as which or who. It's the word hos or os, depending on how you pronounce that breathing mark. Now, that's the Textus Receptus. The Westcott Hort is the same. And so that could be a person or it could be a thing. So could it be that the spirit is the earnest, or could it be that the seal is the earnest? I would submit to you that since we see the seal and the earnest linked in all of these passages, that the seal is the earnest. And so what if we translate it as that you were sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. Now, and again, notice who it is that's receiving this, by the way. This is y'all. This is Christians at Ephesus. And we'll dig into that in a minute. But let's look at the other context in Ephesians, and that's in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, and beginning in verse 29. And I think it's my turn. I'll go ahead and read. And here, Paul says, "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby y'all are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you." And so here Paul's given a lot of moral do's and do nots, mostly do nots. And you know, he says, if you do those things, you will grieve the Holy Spirit, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. How does the New King James read there?
Just in verse 30, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption."
Yeah, so here, and again, the wording, if you look at the Greek manuscripts, the Holy Spirit of God, in which y'all have been sealed, is the way the Westcott Hort reads the word "in" and then "which." Yeah, so in which y'all were sealed into the day of redemption. So the wording is very similar. The American Standard Translation actually is the most faithful there. It says, "in whom y'all were sealed unto the day of redemption." But again, so this could be a whom or a which, but it's the Holy Spirit for sure that you're grieving. Another way to translate that, "by whom y'all were sealed." And that's the way the New King James, the King James translators, the English Standard as well. So we were sealed. The Ephesians were sealed by the Holy Spirit. Now, here's the question. How or when were they sealed? Well, go back to chapter 1 and look at verse 13. And so here, "in whom also y'all trusted after y'all heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also y'all believed." I'll read this right in a minute.
You need more coffee?
Clearly. More coffee. "In whom also, after that y'all believed, y'all were sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise." So when were they sealed by the Holy Spirit? After they believed. Now, that's interesting. Look at Acts chapter 19, because that's where we're introduced to some of these Christians here at Ephesus. And we looked at this passage just a couple weeks ago as we were looking at the Spirit giving miraculous ability. Acts chapter 19, of course, at the end of chapter 18, Apollos is at Ephesus teaching the baptism of John. Aquila and Priscilla straighten him out, and he goes on. And then verse 1 of chapter 19, Paul shows up at Ephesus, and he finds certain disciples. And he says to them, "Have y'all received the Holy Spirit since y'all believed?" And they said to him, "We haven't heard so much as whether there be any Holy Spirit." So they had believed the preaching of Apollos. Paul asked them, "Have you received the Holy Spirit?" And he says, "We don't know what you're talking about." or they do, right? And so he says, "Well, then what were you baptized?" "Well, John's baptism." And we looked at this a couple weeks ago. And so Paul explained to them what they didn't know, taught them right, baptized them right. And so after that, so verse 5, when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. So here you have these disciples at Ephesus, who they have believed, and now they've been taught right, and they've been baptized into Christ, and then Paul laid his hands on them, and the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they began working miracles. So, stepping back and looking at this, you've got Paul and the other apostles who have the earnest and the seal. And then you have these disciples at Ephesus who have the earnest and the seal. And they received it after they believed. And then you have that episode there in Acts chapter 19 where you see exactly that happening. Now, going back to 2 Corinthians, I wanted to point something out there. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And so let's follow this up a little bit, beginning in verse 7. He says, "We walk by faith, not by sight. We have faith." Why do we have faith? Verse 6. "We are confident, knowing that while we're at home with the body, we're absent from the Lord. So we have faith because we have knowledge, and this knowledge comes from this confidence." Where does this confidence come from? "He has given unto us the earnest of the Spirit." So Paul says, we have the earnest, therefore we're confident. And in our confidence, we have knowledge, and this knowledge produces faith. And then, you know, there in Ephesians chapter 1, they heard the gospel, and they believed the gospel, and then they were sealed by the Spirit and received that earnest. And you have this with these disciples at Ephesus, and you have this with Paul and the other apostles. And these are the only places in Scripture that we have this spoken of, the only people to whom it is directly applied. I would submit then that the seal and the earnest of the Spirit is the miraculous abilities that were given. And those miraculous abilities, which we've already seen, confirmed the Word. And because they confirmed that Word, they gave confidence in that Word. And that confidence produces knowledge that, yeah, this is real. Yeah, even if we suffer and die, we're going to heaven. And so we trust. We have faith. And that matches up with what happened with those disciples at Ephesus. They heard Apollos preaching. There were some things they didn't know. Paul taught them what they didn't know. They believed, they were baptized, they were saved, and then Paul laid hands on them and gave them the Holy Spirit, gave them miraculous abilities. And so after they heard the Word, after they believed it, they were sealed by the Spirit. They received that earnest. And so, and there Paul's saying, look, guys, you know that this is true. You know that this is right. Stop it. Stop stealing stuff. Stop using bad language. Stop fighting and bickering. Straighten up and fly right. What are your thoughts?
You know, I think you're bringing up some really good points here that I don't know that I've really given as much thought to as what you have right there. Just as bad as many different things that there are on the Holy Spirit, there's that many different thoughts on some of these topics too.
Yeah, and now talking about that anointing, by the way, because we noticed that the earnest and the seal and the anointing were linked in these passages, there's one other place where we find the anointing mentioned, and that's in 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, and we're going to pick up in verse 20. And this context goes really all the way down to the end of the chapter. Verse 20, the King James says, "But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things." What does the New King James say there?
"But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things."
Yeah, you know, and that's the word there. By the way, the word unction in verse 20, it's the same word in verse 27 that is translated by the King James writers as anointing. So unction means anointing, and anointing means unction. That's a good word. Why don't we use that word unction anymore?
Because everybody would be asking, well, what does that mean?
That's a good word. I want to challenge you to work the word unction into your daily conversation sometime this week and see how that goes. Okay, so now notice, so verse 20, he says, y'all have an anointing, an unction from the Holy One, and y'all know all things. He connects the anointing with knowing all things. Verse 21, I have not written unto you because y'all know not the truth, but because y'all know it, and that no lie is the truth. Who is a liar but he that denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denies the Father and the Son. Whoso denies the Son, the same has not the Father, but he that acknowledges the Son has the Father also. So he's saying, I'm not writing because you don't know. You do know. You've got an anointing, and you know all things. So, verse 24, he says, let that therefore abide in you which y'all have heard from the beginning. If that which y'all have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, y'all also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. These things I have written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing, verse 27, which y'all have received of him abideth in you, and y'all need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things and is truth and is no lie, and even as it has taught you, y'all shall abide in him. Now, verse 27 is a big verse, because here's the thing. The seal and the earnest and the anointing we've seen are the same thing. And here, John says that the anointing that you've received makes it so you don't need anybody to teach you, because it teaches you and it's the truth, and you know all things because you have this anointing. Folks, if the seal and the earnest and the anointing of the Holy Spirit is something for all Christians of all time, then why do we have Bible classes? Because if you've got the anointing of the Spirit, you don't need anybody to teach you anything. You know everything. The anointing of the Spirit teaches you. And if that's the case, then why is it that two people who are Christians cannot understand the same passage the same way? Don't they have the anointing to teach them all things?
It's a good question.
But on the other hand, if this anointing that John refers to is miraculous abilities, and in this case particular, miraculous knowledge, one of the things that we know they needed in the first century, because they didn't have the Bible. They didn't have it on their phone. They didn't have it on their laptop even. So they needed that miraculous knowledge. And so John's saying, look, y'all have that miraculous knowledge. You do know all things. Use it. Quit being deceived by false teachers. Check it with what you know. And that we can do today because we have the scriptures. And we can quit being deceived by false teachers by checking it with what we know. Do we still need to be taught? Yes. Do we know all things? No. I don't know all things. Do you know all things?
Far from it.
So we don't have this anointing that they had. We don't have the miraculous abilities. So the seal of the Spirit and the earnest of the Spirit and the anointing of the Spirit, these were not these were things that the Spirit gave, miraculous abilities for the first century that gave confidence, that gave knowledge, that produced faith, that guarded against false teaching while the Scripture was still being completed. And that is everything that the Bible says about the seal of the earnest and the anointing of the Spirit. Kind of a deep subject, a very contentious one, no doubt. And you've probably heard things different than what I've just laid out here. Take a look at the scriptures. Look at them honestly. Look at them with new eyes. See if it makes sense. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. If you have any questions, if you have any different ideas, if you think maybe you can improve my understanding of these, shoot me a line. I would love to talk to you about it. I want to know more. But this is what we have. This is what we see. So hopefully this is helpful for you and your studies. And I hope that you stay in the book and that you continue to grow. Do you have any other thoughts, brother?
Nothing to add. Thank you.
All right. Well, until next time, stay in the book. May God bless you.